From somewhere in Northeast Indiana, Mike Davidson lives. And now your host of the podcast, Mike Davidson.
Well, Monday, I did not have a day off. I drove to work. I worked. I drove back. Oh, before I went to work, I took the trash out. Yeah, nothing special about Monday. Happy birthday, I guess. Hell yes, Mr. Rob Rip. Thank you very much. It's me, Mike. This is Mike Davidson Lives. How are you? Thank you for downloading, hanging out with me, wasting a little electricity with yours truly for the next half hour or so. Glad you can do it. Yeah, Earth Day. Can't really say I celebrated it. I mean, okay, got the trash bin and we got the recycling bin. The recycling goes out once every 2 weeks. But mostly we throw crap away. Earth Day is not a holiday, for those wondering what it is. It is a national day of guilt tripping. That's what it is. I've never been excited about this. This is something you try to get all the kids at elementary schools excited about. But once they figure out they don't get candy or toys about this, the vast majority of them just kind of go along about their lives, as a lot of us do, because we can't afford to be as eco-conscious as the private jet set out there. But Monday was that very glorious Earth Day. I'm also feeling kind of cranky about it. As you can tell, I'm sick again, or I was sick again. My voice non-existent. Started coming down with something Friday. Thought it was just allergies, and woke up Saturday. No, it's a full-on head cold. You feel like crap. Then Sunday I woke up and joints were hurting, face was hurting. Hard to get out of bed. Somehow managed. Probably didn't help that as I was getting sick and just saying, oh, it's just allergies. I mowed the yard. So all that pollen probably exasperated things a bit. Yeah, it was not a fun weekend. Felt okay-ish today, even though I had to go into work for the non-holiday. But now I just have no voice, everything's stuffy, so bear with me. Hopefully it doesn't give out here in the next 27 and a half minutes. We'll see. Recovering all right. I tell you what made me feel better, kind of. The new Deadpool Wolverine trailer dropped, the R-rated one, the F-bomb flavored one. And fans are dissecting this thing up and down all over YouTube, all over the interweb. And, you know, on the one hand, I'm excited because it's Ryan Reynolds, it's the return of Hugh Jackman, it's two of Marvel's most recognized unstoppable killing machines teaming up to save the universe. Looks fun. But on the other hand, Disney. And Disney could mess up falling out of a boat. I mean, they would find a way not to hit the water falling out of a boat. So I'm cautiously optimistic that they don't mess with this one. The thing is there's a lot of nerds like myself. Well, not like me, but there's a lot of nerds saying that this will be the movie that saves the MCU from all the mismanagement last 5-6 years. If it's good, that's all I'm settling for. I really don't think it's going to save a lot of the misdirection that the MCU has gone through in recent years. But looking forward to that later on this summer. And by the way, I asked my wife if we're going to take my boy Logan to go see it, because, you know, that's his namesake, Wolverine. She said no. Again, R-rated. I'll tell you one thing kind of nervous about. This week, the last episode of Shogun drops, FX, Hulu. And I'm caught up on all the previous 9, and I'm telling you, yeah, some shows are a gut punch because of bad writing or because they decide to preach down to you, make you feel like an idiot. As long as they don't do an Earth Day episode of Shogun for episode 10, and I'm feeling pretty confident about that, this is going to hands down be one of the best television shows I've ever seen, because the last episode, I can't really even describe it because it would spoil so much. It just, if you have not sat down and watched Shogun, this is not something you watch with the kids around, obviously. And yeah, it's subtitle heavy because this is some 1600 Japan. It's one of those hundreds Japan. Sorry, I'm a little groggy right now. 1600 Japan. And you know, it's very intriguing, a lot of political intrigue, and a lot of culture war stuff going here. In a good way, but it's what shows should be. They should challenge you. If you find yourself, if you found yourself in a certain situation, what would you do? That's what you would ask yourself. Not whether or not you did it. That's an entirely different question. But it makes you wonder about certain situations. It makes you wonder about your principles watching a show like this. And it does it without beating you over the head with things. So great writing, great directing, great acting. Looking forward to watching the final episode coming up here in the not-too-distant future. Okay, so Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The nominees were announced, I think, Sunday. And congratulations, finally, to Ozzy Osbourne. He was already in there for Black Sabbath. That was well-deserved. But he's now in as a solo artist, so mazel tov to him. Also going in, well, not a real big fan of Cher, but she's in there. Mary J. Blige, Tribe Called Quest, Dave Matthews Band, a lot of preppies and hippies should be happy about that. Peter Frampton made it in, Foreigner made it in, Kool and the Gang. It takes place October 19th. Disney Plus will stream the ceremony. And with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, again, it's I tremendous honor for those who get in. But it's also basically an award show. No way in hell I'm watching it. Okay, yeah, just it's just not happening. But again, there are many people on the outside looking in, a lot of deserving artists from various genres. And I'll say it again, man, expand the induction classes. Expand them, let some of these other acts get in, because it's better to have them there live and enjoying their party than having their descendants there accepting the award on their behalf because, well, they're no longer with us. That's just the way to go there. Of course, Lemmy from Motorhead, Lemmy Kilmister, has not been with us since 2016, sadly. And when he died, he was cremated, and several of his friends and colleagues split up the ashes, one of which is Dave Grohl. Yeah, splitting up somebody's ashes does seem a little weird, doesn't it? James Hetfield from Metallica, friend of Lemmy's, has some of his ashes. And he recently had the ashes incorporated into a tattoo, I think like an ace of spades. See? Get it? On his middle finger. So now anytime James gives the middle finger at a show or, you know, just an obnoxious fan, Lemmy's with him. It's creepy, but it is so Lemmy, and I think Lemmy from Motorhead would get a kick from that tattoo. But seriously, you know who would see that middle finger tattoo the most, don't you? Lars. It would be Lars. It would be during rehearsal and album recordings. So yeah, you put that thing to good use, right? Okay, this erupted last week, and I kept mum about it. Because I wanted to see where this went. As you know, Sydney Sweeney is the it girl of America right now. She's been in some hit shows on HBO, including Euphoria. She's been in some movies. I guess a few weeks back, she hosted Saturday Night Live, and a lot of people were raving about that. You know, and she's got talent. She's also got some assets, as you know. Yeah, there's been a lot of debate about this gal. You know, some conservatives are saying she is proof that there is the end to wokeness. Well, no, I don't think that's going to happen. As so long as there's people pushing woke bullshit, they're going to do it because they have to feel important, no matter how attractive or fun Sydney Sweeney is, right? But it does prove that there are still a lot of straight, red-blooded American males that will walk into a wall if she's in the same room with them. Okay? You will. But you would think her success, excluding Madam Web, of course, we're not going to count that. That's a mulligan. In fact, we'll give that to you too, Dakota Johnson. That's a mulligan. We'll never speak of this again. But, you know, she's had success in other areas, right? You'd think that would be applaud-worthy. That, you know, much like America has adopted Taylor Swift as basically our new Jesus Christ, Sydney Sweeney, that no one would criticize her, right? And it's not to say you can't criticize Sydney Sweeney. After all, I just took a dig at Madame Web. But this this producer gal, Carol Baum, what was the Dead Ringer, the movie, David Cronenberg. She helped produce that back in the 80s. She was at a screening. And she was, I don't know how this came up, but she was talking to members of the audience, and she said basically she didn't find Sydney Sweeney attractive or talented. And she dared anybody in the audience to explain how she's attractive or talented. Sydney Sweeney not there. Now, I have taken digs at people that I've found not talented, right? But I'm just a crazy man in the wilderness of the internet, right? This is a well-known Hollywood producer with connections, with sway, saying these things out loud publicly to sycophants, to reporters, to anybody. And I don't know what prompted this. Carol Baum, you know, she's an executive producer, you know, a woman in Hollywood. And as you have noticed, with some of these stories with, say, like a Harvey Weinstein or whatnot, there are people that would do bad things to women. There are people that do bad things to anybody out in Hollywood. You would think that she would be a little more appreciative of some of her efforts. And so, you know, this has been a murmur thing going on for a week. And Sydney Sweeney put out a pointed criticism about this. You know, she goes, it's a shame that she feels like she had to do this publicly about me and all that, blah, 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 blah. But then she's been putting out some Instagram photos, Sydney Sweeney, of her just having fun on a boat with her dog or out on vacation, you know, partying on a beach. And there's a picture also of her sitting at home, I guess, wearing a shirt saying, "I'm sorry, I have great tits." That's what the shirt says. Apology accepted, I guess, Sydney. God damn, that's pretty ballsy. This is somebody that's not backing away from being, you know, likable or attractive. And she's throwing that back in Carol Baum's face, so I applaud her for that. And I'm not trying to say this as a way of sexualizing her. I mean, I think she knows she's a good-looking woman, and she knows how to use her assets, her talent. But she's not, you know, it's not a pity party. It's not woe is me. And I think that's what you have to do against some of these types. But it's amazing, again, Carol Baum being this producer, this woman in Hollywood that's found success. You think that, you know, her feminism or whatever would allow her to embrace somebody like Sydney Sweeney, but for some odd reason, she can't. And maybe it's because Sydney Sweeney is fun. Well, I hope she's fun anyway. I mean, that's the appearance that we see from her on social media. And, of course, in some, you know, interviews. And, of course, when she's doing whatever on the screen. But this isn't her being a victim. This isn't her having a pity party. You know, the nice tits t-shirt is a well-played gesture. You know, she's accepted who she is, and she's comfortable with it. So hats off to her for that. Hats off, by the way, to Bill Maher. Conservative columnist Stephen L. Miller. You know, I follow him on Twitter. He's kind of a funny smart ass. I share his disdain for a lot of mainstream media, and you know, his one observation about Bill Maher is when he's wrong, he's very wrong, but when he is right, he knocks it out of the park. And real time, Bill Maher this past Friday night, I'm sure this is something that should unite both lefties and righties, well, anybody with common sense, right? And that is how we should protect kids from being sexualized by adults. And Bill Maher says, you know, I've never had kids my entire life. I don't like kids. Why the hell am I defending them? And he brought up Quiet on Set, the new Max miniseries about the kids being at Nickelodeon subjected to all sorts of horrors and, you know, kind of some dark humor here. Bill Maher says Nickelodeon was basically the Neverland Ranch with craft services. And you watch some of these shows, these clips of shows, and some of the gags, and you can't help but think, yeah, that looks a lot more risque than I remember that, like, 20, 30 years ago. Because you didn't have that context that you do now as an adult. And, you know, Dan Schneider came under fire. But one of the things that Bill pointed out was the guy that enabled this, this Peck guy. He went to jail. He served time. He was convicted, and then he was hired on by Disney afterward. And the Disney company has had arrests of employees for child pornography and the whole nine. And Bill even brought up the this whole thing about, you know, how, you know, with church, you know, there were some priests that stalked kids, Boy Scouts. Even with the left, you know, some of these, you know, drag queen story times, he's just like, why don't we make this more about the kids and less about the queen? And this is exactly right. We should probably not be sexualizing kids one way or another. And I linked it up on the Mike Davidson Facebook page. I will link it up on the podcast page if you haven't seen this really brilliant rant of his. It's funny and it's also cringy. Not because of anything, you know, any idea he has. It's basically him pointing out a hard truth. Kids need to be kids. They'll become adults all due time. Let's not speed up that process. I can tell you, I'm a father of three. I would like them to be as young as they can for as long as they can. Lana, you know, she turned 7 this year. Criminy, where does the time go? Okay, so another big story that's been brewing up last week or so. These protests, especially on a lot of these Eastern University campuses. The big one right now, Columbia. I think it's a 6-day protest about Israel and Free Palestine and all this other stuff. Yale, MIT. In fact, a student at Yale, a Jewish student, got stabbed in the eye by a protester, pro-Palestinian protester. NYU had their protest broken up recently by NYPD. You know, they escorted them out with buses. But basically, safety is concerned. This is America, and there is the freedom of speech, the freedom of press, the freedom to assembly. I get that. You can speak your opinion no matter how unpopular it may be, as long as we observe the Bill of Rights. But at what point does free speech become dangerous? I'm not talking about hate speech or how might somebody interpret speech. I'm talking about what you actually do when you carry on these ideas. And when students who are Jewish are being accosted physically, when Jewish faculty members are being prevented from going into their buildings, that's a problem. You know, Columbia University, again, we're the bigger of these protests going on, day 6 or 7 now. Monday, they had to conduct remote learning for a lot of their classes, all their classes, because of the protests, because they didn't want people to get hurt. You have a rabbi encouraging Jewish students to stay away until this protest is over, to basically get the hell out of Dodge. I was told that this was just about Israel. Why are we harassing Jewish students? You know, it's become more than just free speech. It's become intimidation. And, you know, a lot of these universities like Columbia, like Yale, are funded privately. I think Robert Kraft, for one of these schools, Yeah, I'm not a Patriots fan, but I applaud him. He's withholding funding to one of them until all this clears up for the anti-Semitism going on right now. So kudos to him. But that's something we need to think about here, not just with these big Ivy League schools that are privately funded, but any school in particular, because it's no longer, universities aren't just about learning anymore. You know, there are people that major in anger and hatred and frustration in problematic majors. And that's why I think you have to start looking at the funding of a lot of universities. How much of that comes from tax dollars? Your donation checks should dwindle, if not stop altogether. And there should be audits of universities. Okay, what are you teaching? Who can we get rid of? Yeah, and this is the same rant I've had about making universities more affordable. Not free college, mind you, but making education more more valuable, essentially, but more affordable, because you have a lot of people on staff that don't teach your kids anything. And how is this productive? You know, keeping other students from learning, keeping other faculty from teaching, keeping other people from going to work, who might have to get cut through this mess. This isn't finding yourself. This isn't learning. This is being disruptive. And this goes beyond the pale with free speech. This is intimidation. And I think it's high time that a lot of government types start listening to us a little more about this. I think there needs to be a full-scale audits of universities across the country, at least publicly funded ones. And if anything happens to any student on these private schools like Columbia or Yale, how liable are these schools for this? I mean, this could be dangerous. I mean, you had a student get stabbed in the eye at Yale, and a lot of these protests are still going on. No, oops, sorry, my bad. It's from the river to the sea with a lot of these people, and it's not just about Israel. That's what's scary about it. Hopefully nothing bad happens. You know, and I'm sorry to bring down the room, but this is something I've been kind of watching. And I've seen it escalate, and I've seen it de-escalate on some campuses. I don't want anybody hurt, and I don't want bad history to repeat itself with any group. Okay, college football, sticking with universities here. New rule changes. The quarterback will have a headset in his helmet starting this season. There will be tablets on the sideline, and there will be 2-minute warnings. So all that needs to happen now is equal pay with the NFL, you know, because you're basically turning into the NFL minor league right here. They got the 2-minute warning coming up. They got to fit more commercials into college football. College football, you know, I love watching it, but like, you know, it's a lot longer than the NFL. Like the games seem a lot longer than the NFL, maybe by 30 minutes on average. At least that's what it seems like to me. 2-minute warning is not going to make the game faster. It's just another way to squeeze in revenue. And of course, we got to get those NILs. They don't fund themselves, kids. That's why they're doing it. So college football, you know, has become more commercial, and it looks like they're going to pay their university employees, formerly known as student athletes. Also staying in the realm of sports here, the Olympics coming up in Paris this summer, NBC. Cannot wait to avoid that at all costs. Peyton Manning's involved with the coverage for some odd reason. Mike Tirico's there. Thankfully, I'm not seeing a lot of Bob Costas mentioned here. But something that kind of stood out with me, saw this a day or two ago, new feature for NBC's coverage of the big games. They're going to hook up heart monitors to parents of the athletes as the games are happening, so you can see their heart monitor pump faster. You know, God, if there's nothing more nerve-wracking than watching an elderly person's heart rate, you know, get to those near-fatal levels, I don't know what else is. That might be more exhilarating than watching the actual freaking sport. But if they really want to do it up right, do away with the heart monitor. It's a little less morbid. Mic the parents up. I want to hear the parents swear when their meal ticket screws up in the big game. I want to hear, what the hell are you thinking, dumbass? I want to see that. I don't want to see, uh-oh, here comes a coronary. That would, you know, speaking of bringing the room down, that would bring the room down a little bit, wouldn't you think? Johnny Weir, by the way, will be in the closing ceremony coverage of the summer games. Mr. Basically, a younger clone of Richard Simmons. He will be part of the coverage. And, of course, they're going to make a big deal about how he dresses and how they can't even. That's what the access media is going to do. Okay. There's a little Earth Day story here for you. But I don't think it's an Earth Day story. I think it's pretty obvious what they're doing. I think it was today they announced. Was it today or yesterday? It doesn't really matter because, you know, you're listening to it whenever. But earlier in the week, it was announced that they had begun building the high-speed rail that connects Los Angeles to Las Vegas. You can get there a lot faster. It takes 4 hours now to drive from L.A. to L.V. But this isn't just cut down on fuel. This isn't to, you know, make transportation easier for the traveler. It's so the casinos can have you lose money faster. That's why. Yeah, they want you out there. They want you to lose as much money as you can, and you get to ride public transportation back home like a loser, back to Los Angeles. That's why they want that. They're not doing this to like any of the national parks, you see. If it was really about saving the earth, you would take a high-speed rail out to the Grand Canyon or some shit. I don't know. But they're going to Las Vegas, a city that's lit up and draining tons of electricity and water out there in the desert. I find it funny. Of course I do. It's not that I don't like nature. I like nature. I have a mantra about nature. I leave it the F alone if I can, unlike these yahoos down in North Carolina. This went viral not too long ago. Like a group of adults, alleged adults, this was at an apartment complex there. They grabbed black bear cubs off the tree and were taking selfies and photos with them. And of course, wildlife rangers tell you, yeah, you don't do that. It freaks with the wildlife. It messes with them. It scares them, you know. And of course, you can get hurt. But you know what? Why get in the way of a good photo op, right? Mama bear wasn't there, obviously, because these adults lived. But if she was there, I would most definitely be rooting for Mama Bear. Oh, okay. So yeah, don't mess with Mama Bear and. Don't go to a strip club if you're over the age of 30. Well, okay, 25. It gets pathetic the older you are, the more often you go. And, of course, there's dangers in going to a strip club. This is on the Mike Davidson Facebook page. Albany, New York. A guy in his 40s that runs a strip club. He's accused of drugging up clientele, racking up tens of thousands of dollars on their debit cards, getting them into compromising situations with the dancers, videotaping pictures of that, blackmail type of stuff, and of course, drug dealing. And if you can't trust a strip club manager in this planet, who can you trust? But it reminded me back in my younger days, me and a few pals in Indy, Pendleton Pike, you know, that used to lead up to, I mean, it still does. Fort Bend, that used to be a big outpost, but now it's more of a commercial park. But back when there was a big military presence at Fort Benjamin Harrison, Pendleton Pike, tons of strip clubs. Now there's like a handful, but we were at one. And a stripper just took me back, and she was dancing to one song and another and another. And somehow I wasn't drunk enough just to sit there. So after the fourth song, I was like, okay, wait, how much is this going to cost me? Oh, $40. Yeah, my dumb drunk ass lost $40 just sitting there going, boobs. Yeah, see? That's why Sydney Sweeney knows she's got a good thing. Well, she's not a stripper, but she knows she can make money and make guys walk into walls. And I'm okay with that because I'm not going to lose $40 because of her. All right, with all that said and done, I'm done. Till next time, stay fresh, Jesus.
You've been listening to Mike Davidson Live. Be sure to check him out on social media. Like him at facebook.com/mdavidsonlives. Follow him on Twitter. Look for @DavidsonLives.